This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, lady!
I knew you were going to do
that. I'm doing my Jerry Lewis for Charlie. Hello, good morning.
Good
Frank
morning.
Rocker here along with Charlie Dobbin, of
on
course, The Garden Show.
Frigid about kind
the,
of day.
Yeah, yeah. I stayed downtown last night.
Smart.
Because, well, the weather reports were not clever, you know, for
I know.
People had no...
It could have been 60 centimeters of snow, as it turns out. It's not much.
Yeah, thank goodness.
But, yeah.
But I had a great night, though. Stayed over at my son Toby's.
Yes.
He lives in the downtown area. So three of my grandchildren are there, and we're
snuggled
all
on
snuggled
the couch.
Up on the couch watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
it's a sci-fi
great.
Thing. It was
yes,
kind
yes,
of fun.
Yes.
So, yeah, had a great night
nice.
And slept on the couch. And let's see, Mouse,
how was that?
The dog.
Is that,
oh,
was
yeah,
that great?
No, it was good.
It's comfortable.
Good.
Okay.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Because couches can be a little shaky.
No. Brand new couch.
Oh, perfect.
So, yeah.
Just for you, they got this guy.
No.
Grandpa's
but it was great. And, yeah, so Tobe just dropped me off at the station because I left my car here last night.
Oh,
and,
right.
It was, you know, I think a smart thing to do. A lot of people, of course, having problems. You got your windows were all...
My windows were frozen. Shut. No, my doors were fine. So
yeah.
And my car was in the garage. Like, we're not talking
about
a car sitting out. But you know what? It's because of all that rain. So everything was
right.
So solidly
yeah.
wet.
And it
then
went, the temp just
super
boom,
freeze.
Plummeted.
So all that liquid became solid
precipitously.
Ice.
Yes.
The precipitation precipitously got cold. So, yeah,
I better give these phone numbers. You know, I've just dawned on me.
This we is have, The Garden Show.
Yes, yep. Yes.
Let's
and,
talk gardening.
We have the Master Gardener right here for mm-hmm. your enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Along with my sidekick, the under gardener.
Thank you.
Franklin Proctor.
All righty. Phone number, if you're calling from the Toronto area, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And you have to bear with me if I sneeze because I caught the cold that Shirley has had for about a week now. I thought, I'm going to escape it. No, hit with a vengeance yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
You sound a bit gravelly.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little low in the tones,
hot
as it were.
Hot toddies. Mm.
Yes.
Hey, did you notice all the Christmas decorations are gone?
Yeah.
I just realized. And you know what? My Christmas tree, it's halfway undecorated. I'm still not completely undecorated. Like, how? I'd like to know, how do you set the date for undecorating the seasonal stuff? Because,
yeah.
You know, my neighborhood, everybody sort of went up and went down, blink of an eye. You know, even the Christmas Badoom. Lights are
yeah.
all unplugged outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mine are still on, my tree's still up. And
like, well, Shirley got busy. We actually all got busy taking all the Christmas. She got Christmas plates and stuff
I know,
like that.
Everything. She's
downstairs.
Got Christmas
I took
underwear.
The Christmas tree down itself. No, it's a phony. It's,
yeah.
not, it's not a real tree. So just took it apart and took it downstairs for storage.
But
later.
When? Like earlier last week or last weekend?
No, 2 days ago.
Oh, so just,
yeah.
Okay, I don't feel so bad then.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it just,
no.
Yeah, it just feels to me like everybody's kind of put Christmas away and forgotten about it, and I'm still going, well, I like my tree. my cats like the tree.
Yeah.
They snuggle under the tree all the time. Like, that's their favorite place, is snuggling under the Christmas
tree. You've got a dog. Hey, indoor plumbing. Wow. Whoa, no. No. Down, Fido. You know what we could do? You were telling me just before we went on air about a very interesting
I will. I'll tell you more about
you
that.
To.
I will. Yeah, it was a trade show. It's an annual called Landscape Ontario Congress.
All right.
So it's huge. It's a huge event, and I will tell you more about it, but probably we'll hope to get some calls.
Yeah,
and feel free when you're calling just to tell us when you take down your Christmas decorations, because I'm interested.
We're nosy on this show.
Well, I just want to know, what's the magical date? Like, how do people...
So 12 days of Christmas come into it at all? Does that
Isn't
extend
that
beyond...
Well,
no.
But then you see, then there's the Orthodox
Christmas,
which happens 9 days after. So it was last Sunday. So, I mean, I have a Russian friend across the street, and she still got her stuff up. And
well, there you are.
So I'm supporting her, I figure.
Okay. Did you have any announcements that you have
to go
through?
Oh, I do. But you know what? Should we take a quick break, and then I'll do my short announcements.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll be back. We're not going anywhere, really, but we've got to allow some commercials to hit the air to pay for this wonderful show. Okay? Yeah. There we are. Okay. Back in moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, one thing I forgot. Well, a couple of things I forgot, actually.
I think you were a little distracted there.
Well, yeah, this cold is good.
Blame the cold, of course.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I forgot to, number one, besides giving out our phone numbers, 416-360-0740 in Toronto, 1-866-740-4740, anywhere in the province, toll-free. Our little mantra, call early, call often, one question per call.
It's not a little mantra, it's a very important mantra.
Yes, of course it is. I'll agree with anything you say.
I think so.
I'm going to keep out of trouble today anyway I can.
I don't believe that for a second.
If you're a first-time caller, let Sebastian know, and he will pass that on to me, and then that's what you're going to hear when you come to the air. And hey, look at Ruth in Fawn Hill. There you are. Hey, Ruth, welcome.
Hello.
First-time caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome
to the show.
Good morning, Charlie.
What's going on at your place?
Pardon me?
What's going on at your place?
What's going on at our place? Well, we've got a lot of snow, and it's very, very cold in Font Hill.
Yeah, I believe it.
Anyway, I'm calling about an amaryllis that we planted about 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaves on it, we have many, many leaves, and they're about 19 inches tall, and there's no sign of any bud or bloom.
Was this a brand new amaryllis, or is this from last year?
No, it's a brand new one.
Oh.
And also, it's kind of weird. From the bottom of the bulb, there's another smaller, two little leaves coming out. And they're about, almost 5 inches.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird. I've never seen this happen.
Well, no, the little leaves are coming off of a little bulb that you probably can't see.
Oh,
so
okay.
What's happened is that the mother bulb, the big one, has created some little babies around the base.
Oh, okay.
Which is very common. That happens. But I'm surprised you didn't get a flower if it was a brand new bulb.
No, there's not even a sign of it. Usually you can see from in between the leaves, there's nothing coming up. It's just leaves.
But usually the flower comes up first. So did you get the bulb from a reputable dealer?
We bought it at a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
Right. And when you got, was it like on sale because it was the end of the season kind of thing?
No. We bought it at the beginning of the season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like you said, 6 weeks ago.
But the name brand on the box I had seen in other stores in nurseries, greenhouses, and whatnot. So I figured it was okay to buy it.
Well, you know what? It does come down to the size of the bulb, right? The bigger the bulb, the bigger the flowers, and the more flowers you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you'll pay as well. So the bigger ones.
Well, it is a good-sized bulb. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just say be patient. It might still pop a flower for you. In the meantime, be careful to not overwater, right? Just make sure you water when it's dry.
Yes.
Keep it in that sunny location that you've got it in, and pray for flowers. If you don't get any flowers this time around, just let it be a green plant right through the spring, right through the summer. Even put it outside for the summer, if you wish, just into a shady spot in its pot and let it grow. Let it be a green plant. And end of summer, that's when you'll put it someplace where you'll stop watering it and it won't get rained on.
Mm-hmm.
And just put it away. Let the leaves shrivel up and die. They'll turn yellow and drop off. And let it sit all by itself, quietly, dormant. Doesn't have to be cold, but it has to be dark and dry. And leave it like that for about 10 weeks. And when you pull it out at that point and sit it on the living room table or whatever, the first thing that comes up should be a flower. So it's all about the initiation of the flower bulb. And when it doesn't happen, it's not always perfectly clear why it doesn't happen. But as long as it's fat and juicy, it will happen eventually.
So the flower should always come up first. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, usually that's what you expect, is the flower. You'll see it. That'll be the first bud that's poking up out of the bulb.
Oh,
and it's much fatter than a leaf bud.
Absolutely no sign of it. But anyway, so you're saying just stick it out.
Yeah, let it be.
Bear with it. Yeah. Stick it outside in the summer and let it die off. And bring it in and let it start all over again?
That's right. It's just going to need that little resting period in between growing and little rest, and then let it grow again.
What about room temperature in the house?
Just average room temperature is fine. You know, 70, 72, that sort of thing. It is a tropical bulb. It's originally from South Africa. So it's quite attuned to warm temperatures.
Because we always turn our temperature down at night before going to bed, and I was wondering if that affected it at all.
No, that's fine. No, I'm sure you're not down. You're not going below zero, so I'm sure.
No. Yeah. It's about 66.
Oh, that's fine. Yep. No, that's very.
That shouldn't bother it.
Yeah, shouldn't bother it at all. Should be just fine. Actually, very normal from its origins kind of temperatures.
So maybe we should try buying our bulbs elsewhere.
You know, it's hard to say, because I bought, I think, 4 bulbs from Home Depot, if you can imagine, which is certainly not a highly reputable supplier. And I potted them all up and gave them to other people, and they have been phenomenal. They've all bloomed with multi-flower stems and lots and lots of flowers.
At Home Depot.
At Home Depot. So, you know, and they were just the bare ones, you know, no box, no kit, just a simple bulb. But I do, when I'm buying bulbs, I want the biggest ones I can get. Excuse me, with clean, like no nicks, like no chunks missing out of the bulb. You know, you want it to be in good condition when you get it, and then of course you want to plant it right away.
Okay. Well, this one came all complete, you know, with the pot and the soil and everything, and it had a name brand on it, and we figured it would be okay.
It was
around $5.
Sounds like the less you do here, the better. Almost, you know. Right.
Well,
okay. All right.
Yeah,
well, we'll bear with it. Yeah, we don't know if anything's going to happen. But so you're saying the ones that are sprouting out from the underneath it are just a baby bulb.
Let them be. Yep. Just let everything grow.
Okay. All right.
Give us a ring when that happens.
We're going to ignore it then and let it do whatever it's going to do.
Just water when it's dry.
Whenever there's an activity, though, Ruth, give us a call back and let us know what's going on, okay?
Well, I will if we ever get a bloom on it.
All righty. Take care now. Thank you for joining us here on this Saturday morning.
You know, at this time of year, that's the number one question, amaryllis.
Isn't that funny, eh?
The rest of the year, the number one question is hydrangea.
Okay.
Why isn't it blooming?
Now, let's take another call here. I was going to take a break, but I think we can take another call.
All right. Whatever
Wanda.
You say, you're in charge.
Okay. Whoa. Wanda in Scarborough. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning.
Good
Charlie
morning.
And Frank. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. And you too.
Thank you. I'm calling regarding my lantana plant. Mm-hmm. This dear little plant, I took it in from the garden. Mm-hmm. All the leaves fell off, and I thought maybe it was dying. But the leaves came back, and it's blooming.
Nice.
A little bit. And I didn't know whether to fertilize it, or I wanted actually to make it a little bit smaller.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Then don't fertilize it, because that's going to make it bigger. Do what you're doing, because you're obviously doing something right. It's going to want lots of sun. Only water it when it's dry. Let it dry right down between waterings.
Oh.
And you could, if you want to do some cutting back, you could do that now, or you could wait a couple of weeks, you know, wait till more, mid-February. But at whatever point you decide to do the cutting back, remember you're going to cut back to where you see either leaves or buds, and you're going to make the plant balanced so that it's when it grows, it will be a nice looking plant. And when you do that pruning, you can fertilize at that time. So that would be just with a, you know, made-up water-soluble flowering plant fertilizer.
Right. Well, I was giving it a little bit of water every day.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That is so wrong.
Oh.
Do you listen to the show often?
You
got to listen all the time now.
But it seems so dry, and I thought, well, I better give it just a little drink.
I know, because people are worried about overwatering, so they give a tablespoon a day. All right, so that's the absolute wrong way to water. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but here's what you want to do. You want to water thoroughly. You want to give it, like, if it needs 6 cups of water or a gallon of water, give it whatever amount of water it needs so that it's thoroughly saturated water. water has run through into the saucer below, the soil is soggy.
And you dump that water out.
That's right. Yeah. You want to drain all that sogginess off. You want to let, you know, you don't leave that saucer full of water below the plant. You give it 10-15 minutes, then you dump out the saucer, let that water drain out of the drainage holes of the pot, and let it be. And don't water it again until it's dry. So it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks, it might be 2 months. It's just a question of feeling the soil and water thoroughly, but rarely.
Yeah, that's where a moisture meter might be handy, sticking it down.
Depends how big the pot is. Yeah. It doesn't sound like it's a very big pot. What's the lantana in, about a 6-inch pot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can get used to the...
By weight, almost. Right?
I do it by weight. I feel that just pick up the pot when it's really dry. It's going to be very light. And then and feel the soil at the same time. Just double check your kind of two things with your fingers and with the weight. And when you do this thorough watering and you've really, you know, saturated and got the soil well moistened, then feel the weight and feel the soil. And then you've got some, you know, sort of
a guideline.
Benchmark, exactly.
I was going to say, for the Christmas decorations, I do mine in stages because I don't like to see it all go.
I know, it's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah.
All up, all down, yeah.
So what I do is I have a little Christmas tree in the window, and it has a big wreath around it with lights. Mm-hmm. And then there's lights around the window.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of weeks, I take down the Christmas tree part.
Oh, yeah.
But then I leave the lighted wreath for another few weeks.
Oh, okay.
And I don't take the...
Gradual steps.
Yeah,
and I don't take the outer, lights that go right around the windows until February the 14th.
Oh,
Valentine's
so you do
Day.
Have a date. Uh-huh. You work to a date.
I do, because it's nice to drive up when it's dark and see the lights in the bay window.
Right, I agree with you.
That's super.
All right, that's great. Thank you. I'm so glad you shared that, Wanda, because I'm totally with you on that.
Oh, good.
I don't like the drama either.
No, and I don't like it dark. When it's lighter by that time,
true.
Then I don't mind taking it out.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for that info.
All right, and look after that lantana.
Enjoy.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us here on a Saturday morning, which, by the way, is a gorgeous-looking day out there. Now, mind you, it's pretty chilly, but looks great.
Pretty blue sky.
Yeah.
But they are talking about maybe some snow later.
Yeah, I got to get a hold of an official word from Environment Canada, but let me just...
You don't trust me.
Yeah, well, yes, I do.
No,
yeah, I do so. You know, I'm looking at our monitors here, and we're going to be going to the callers in just a couple of moments. We have two Lorraines online. One from Toronto, and then one a Lorraine from Cambridge. Sweet Lorraines, ready to join the show in moments here on Zoomer Radio. And you are listening to The Garden Show as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village, AM 740, 96.7 FM in downtown Toronto. And we shall join both our Lorraines in just a couple of moments.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And I've just found joy. I'm as happy as a baby boy. With another brand new choo-choo joy. When I met my sweet Lorraine, Lorraine, Lorraine.
Hey, well, Justin, by way of welcoming both Lorraines, first we're going to speak to, that was Nat King Cole, by the way. Lorraine from Toronto, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. Happy New Year to you both.
Oh, thank
Good morning.
You.
Thank you.
I called before Christmas sometime about my orchids that have these little bugs on them, Charlie, and they ended up having fungus all in the roots. I overwatered them. Now, I've managed to save one. I've got roots about an inch long. What do I plant it in? It's still in water, and it's growing leaves out the side.
Really? So you've got the orchid in water?
Yeah, I've had it in water since about when I called you back around November sometime. And it's sitting there, and now it's starting to sprout little branches off the side there.
Okay. So what I would do is, depending what's your closest garden center or even potentially a Home Depot, Canadian Tire, go in now, today, if you can, and go to wherever their plant section is, and you will find packages of orchid bark. So it'll be with potting soils. Find the indoor planting area, and you'll see all the cactus soil, African violet soil, and you'll find orchid mix or orchid bark. And that's what you need. And you need a pot, preferably a terracotta pot, though there are actual orchid pots with extra holes. The trick
I think
with,
that's why I put water
down. Yeah, the trick with orchids is they do want really good aeration. So they want chunky, they want to live in a sort of a chunky substrate so that when you water, all the spaces between all those chunks of bark is filled up with water. But the water drains through very quickly, the bark starts to dry down, the orchid absorbs the moisture, and now you've got big air spaces, so you've got lots of good gas exchange. Orchid roots like, they need that to be exposed to air. They need that gas exchange in order to be healthy and happy. And Lorraine, I'm not sure if you realize, but on February 10th and 11th is the big orchid show at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. So that's Leslie and Lawrence here in Toronto.
Okay.
Both days of that weekend. And I'm telling you, everything you've ever wanted to know about orchids, you can definitely get answers to your question there, because there's tons of experts, but it's a beautiful, beautiful show. It's thousands and thousands of orchids.
Something like 30,000.
Yeah,
really.
Being exhibited.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Smells amazing. It's lovely in the cold February.
And you get all sorts of great tips, right?
And you can buy your bark, buy your pots, buy more orchids. Like, you can buy anything you need there, too.
Okay. Yeah. I have it. You know how you buy them in the store and they come with that glass pot? Like a plastic inside the glass.
Yeah.
Now, terracotta, would a clay pot be the same?
Yeah,
or does...
clay is the same as terracotta, yeah. Okay. So what you want is you're going to lose the... So right now, it's not in that plastic insert?
No, it's in water.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I would get yourself... See, the good thing about terracotta or clay is that, again, it provides that good drainage.
Yeah. What size pot would I use? I have small clay and I have larger ones, maybe 5-inch diameter at the top.
Right, so it's going to depend how, if the roots are very small, like you said, only about an inch of roots.
Yeah, they're about an inch and a half.
Right, so I would, if you've got a 4-inch pot, I would go with that. Go smaller rather than bigger, because it's very shocking on a plant to go into too big of a pot.
Yeah, okay. So, I know my other plants are all okay. I just didn't know about this. And for my Christmas decorations, I leave the lights on until March. I like coming up and seeing all the red lights outside. They're all around my front yard and my wreath. And the tree I usually take down about the beginning of February.
Oh, really? Yeah,
Very good.
So you're like me. You're one of these, don't want to let it go. Hold on to this.
My husband and I sit there every night. No, not yet.
I just feel so awkward because everybody in my neighborhood unplugged their Christmas lights. Well, I mean, maybe not my whole neighborhood, just my street. But I'm like the only one with lights. I'm like, what's going on? I guess I have to unplug mine, too.
I have an excuse. They're frozen in the ground, and they're red for Valentine's Day. So.
Right. Well, in our case, nobody's taken them down because they're frozen, but they've obviously unplugged them, right?
No, I turn them on. I have them on every night still.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Bless your heart. Okay. Right across from, out in the farm there, Stoneville area, there's a chap who lives across the road. Huge tree. It's got to be 80 feet high.
Don't tell me he's got lights at the top.
He's got blue lights right to the top, and it's stunning. You can see
How did he do it?
I don't know. He must have had a cherry picker come in there, but it's absolutely beautiful, and I'm so thankful he leaves it on. You know?
Yeah, no kidding, because you know exactly where your driveway is when you're driving in the dark.
That's exactly
because otherwise, there's no street lights there. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. But
it's not like the swans come out and say, "Here's where you live, Frank."
That's right. All right, hey, Lorraine in Cambridge. Good morning, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, thanks for the tribute, Frank.
Yeah, exactly.
My question about asparagus ferns, I have two that I keep in the bathroom. Mm. It's on the north window, and it goes on the north side of the house under the eaves in the summer. Mm. Both summer and winter, I get big long fronds, like asparagus spears.
Yeah, exactly.
And the earth is also mounded up in the middle.
Mm.
I wonder if it needs new pots.
Well, how did it end up mounded up in the middle?
Yeah. They're healthy, uh-huh. but I'm forever picking those things out. And I didn't know about, like, I guess I do water when they're dry, but it's hard to tell. And I, if I overwater, they flood onto the toilet. It's not very practical.
Well, maybe can you put the fern into the bathtub when you're watering?
No.
No? Too big for that? So, okay, two things. One is, when those spears come out, I would recommend you don't cut them out. I would try and let them be. I know they can be sharp, but I would try and let whatever grows, let it grow.
Oh.
In terms of this repotting, it sounds like you might be very due for some repotting. I wouldn't necessarily do it just now, because it's January. I'd wait till middle of February. I'd give it another month, and then you're in good condition. Now, whether you go into a bigger pot, I'm not sure. I guess it depends how much room you've got for these plants to get bigger. Because remember, a bigger pot means bigger plants.
Yeah.
So, but you can even take out of the existing pot, you know, check the roots. You might have some yucky, dead, you know, spongy black and brown roots that you could cut out, take off some of that old soil, get that mound off the center, and then with some fresh soil, repot into the same pot they've just come out of after you've scrubbed it out. Just because it'll be very refreshing for the plant, and it'll replenish, you know, some of the nutrient. And, of course, you'll fertilize at the same time.
Okay. Now, as far as Christmas decor, I leave my tree up all year. It's artificial, obviously, and I decorate it at Easter.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, interesting. Really?
Great.
So it becomes an Easter tree, and then a Halloween tree,
right.
and then a Christmas tree, and then a Valentine's tree. That's a cool idea.
It's Excellent. Easier that way, too.
And
I keep, my little red and white lights outside on, too, for Valentine's, and I put them on July the 1st.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
That's great.
Wow. Such interesting systems people use. I'm so glad I asked this question.
I like the brightness and the cheerfulness of them.
Yeah, I find them very festive. And yeah, exactly. Very cheerful.
Yeah. Good stuff, Lorraine.
Good
information. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Oh, golly. That's neat, huh? Wow. I've often thought of doing that, you know, but I just, you know, thought, oh,
people will
silly.
Laugh at you.
But
they won't.
No.
You'll say, I have good friends
Admiration.
That do this all the time. So I have a real tree, so I couldn't leave it up year round. But one of the things I do, and I will do today after I've taken, because it's just the lights that are left on my tree, is I'll cut off a lot of the lower boughs or branches with my loppers, and then I'll take those big boughs and I'll lay them over top of some of my garden plants.
That eventually becomes mulch?
No, I lay these big sort of sprays or boughs right over top of things like particularly hellebores. So this is an evergreen perennial. It's a low-growing perennial. And because we've got super cold temperatures, we don't have a lot of snow, these plants are being exposed to the cold and the wind and the ice and all this. So by putting the boughs over top, it just helps temper.
Insulation.
And a little bit of insulation, just so that you don't have the extreme cold. And then potentially, like we were pouring rain 2 days ago. So we went, you know, from 10 above to 20 below in like a very short period, which is very hard on plants. So that's what I will do later today, is all these boughs will go out around wherever I've got tender plants, just to kind of give them a little
Good
bit
idea.
Of a little bit of a blankie.
Little tip for others listening in out there to
and
the garden.
Sometimes I'll even keep my tree on the property if there's snowbanks and just jam it into a snowbank and then hang some, you know.
That's kind of cool too.
The peanut butter pine
the
cones.
Birds love that.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it. I'm just glancing at the clock here.
Okay.
Time is our enemy on this show. Son of a gun.
Never had
and
time.
I've got to get my bell-ringing arm in shape, because Ross in St. Catharines has been so patient waiting by. First-time caller, we'll get to you, Ross. Honestly, we will, as soon as we hear from some of our fine sponsors here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, here we go, Charlie. Hey, yes, that's for Ross in St. Catharines. Welcome to the show, first-time caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, welcome.
Yes, thank you very much. How are you guys? Had I not had such a bizarre plant, I wouldn't have hung on so long. But
I'm glad you did.
Well, thank you.
Let us know.
This hibiscus tree that I have is some 6 feet tall. Mm. It's got a braided trunk.
Oh, yeah.
One of the braids died some years ago, so I cut that out. But my question is, when the leaves all turn yellow and stuff, is it right to pluck them off as it's growing?
Yeah, it's very normal. Hibiscus, well, all plants, as they're growing new leaves, will often drop old leaves.
Okay.
So it's not unusual to find that happening. Hibiscus will do this all the time. They will fall off eventually.
Okay.
What I do is, as long as, if there's any green left in a plant, in a leaf, I leave it alone because it's still photosynthesizing. But once it's pure yellow and it's just going to drop in a few minutes anyway, you're right. I'll just take it off and stick it in the composter.
Okay. And again, the reason why I'm calling is this plant is some... this August 1st, it'll be 33 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
So 6 feet tall, and do you do some pretty serious pruning on it a couple times a year?
Well, I did last year because, and I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but I thought it had cancer, and I thought it was on its way out. Mm. And so I trimmed it like crazy, and the plant, I seriously thought it was on its last leg, and believe it or not, the lady that bought it for my wife some 33 years ago, she had passed away, and I had a small hibiscus flower 3 inches across on it at the time.
Wow, nice.
And I haven't had a flower on it since, but it's getting a little rough looking, but I just thought, hey, I'd phone and get a few tips on it.
For sure. The cutting back is very rejuvenating for hibiscus. So not necessarily now, but certainly within the next month to 6 weeks maximum.
Okay.
Don't hesitate to cut it back, and cut it back quite hard.
I pretty well did that this time probably last year.
Which is a great idea. And then you don't have to do it again until the next, you know, it's always kind of a spring maintenance thing is cut the hibiscus right back. At the same time, fertilize and make sure it's getting as much light, as much sunlight, natural light.
Oh, it's been in the north living room window, which is some 8 feet across and 6 feet high. It's been there for
30 years.
This August will be 33 years.
Oh, wow. But it's not done a lot of flowering in that 30 years, it doesn't sound like.
Oh, no. I've had as many as 12 on it at one time.
Yeah. Really? Well, that's what's neat about the braided ones, because usually they're different colors.
Oh, this one's all bright pink.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, that's great.
Good stuff. Well, thanks,
hey, Ross,
for calling.
Thanks for calling.
I love hearing about that. You too. 33 years old hibiscus.
Yeah, that is something.
My dad has a braided hibiscus that I got for him and my mom, and it's three colors. It's yellow, red, and pink.
I'm just noticing Emma has been hanging on the line
for
17 minutes. So I'm just going to repeat the phone numbers because we have to take a break very shortly. However, if you're in the Toronto area, here's the number, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Now, with all that said, welcome, Emma from Bolton. Nice to have
you
on
the show.
Good
morning. Good morning.
I have a question about oleander. I got some cuttings from a friend about almost 2 years ago, and they all rooted nicely, and I grew them outside, about four plants, and they had buds, but the buds never opened on me. They just fell off. Now I brought him indoors, and two of them are full of buds again, so I'm wondering if I'm going to get blooms from those.
Don't water.
And what I'm supposed to do, to make sure that they do.
All right, so oleander is extremely drought tolerant, and the reason it probably would drop its buds is because it's too wet too often. So don't
all
water.
Right. Maybe because of all the rain we had this year.
Yes, exactly. So they do want to really, are they in quite big pots or no? They're still little.
They're not big plants yet because they're only not 2 years old.
Right. So they're like 6-inch pots probably?
No, they're fairly big.
Oh, okay.
Like they grew quite a bit. No, they're bigger than that.
All right. So
12-inch.
Oh, okay. So the 12-inch pot is a big pot for a 2-year-old plant. So you've got a lot of soil there, is my point. So whether you get yourself a moisture meter, which will give you some idea of the moisture levels in the pot way down deep, or you're just going to get a handle of sticking your finger right down into the soil. But the point is, oleander wants to dry right down in between waterings. Treat oleander.
And I'm pretty good with that. So I do just check my soil, you know, when it's wet, I water, and I haven't been overwatering them.
Yeah, I was going to say, treat it like you would aloe vera. So it's just,
right.
You can get it, leave it to the point of limpness. Let the leaves go limp. Then you know
really?
It's time
to
water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that I know we often think that something's quite dry, but way down at the bottom of the pot, there's still lots of moisture available. So that's why
it would dry. My friend that gave them to me, hers was huge. You know, she was bringing it in, but she would go dormant in her basement for the winter.
Yeah. People do that too. If you've got a spot in the basement, you just let it dry right out. Cut it all back, bring it up in the spring, and it'll go.
Maybe next year I'll try it out.
Okay.
About Christmas decorations. Tree, because I follow our Christian calendar, never before the 6th, which is Epiphany of January, that's when the three kings came with the gifts.
That's right.
So anytime after that, you can take your tree down, but not before that.
Not before the 6th.
Okay.
Okay. Excellent. I think that's probably what my neighbors are all doing. Yeah. They're probably following that same calendar. So, everybody seems to disappear. Everything disappears within sort of 24 hours.
Too soon.
Too soon for me. Thanks,
Emma.
Great.
Have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us here on The Garden Show. I was just thinking, I've got this darn cold. So if people have their computers on and you go to Zoomer Radio, the main
don't
page.
Don't look at the screen.
Yeah. Well, no, but I got to explain. I'm sitting here sometimes pressing on my nose because I'm trying not to sneeze. And I thought,
I thought
that's
because I smelled bad. I thought maybe I smelled bad or something.
No. I just try not to sneeze and throw you right off. Anyway, that's a
no,
crazy
I probably just laugh.
Picture. Yeah, you probably would too.
Okay,
we'll come back to talk maybe about the event you had taken part in yesterday.
Plus, I do have an announcement that I haven't.
Okay, all right.
Yet,
phone numbers still apply, of course. If you call in, we'll get to you. 416-360-0740 in Toronto, anywhere in the province, toll free to reach Charlie Dobbin here. 1-866-744-4740, and back at a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
So bossy.
Well,
worried they haven't pressed the right buttons in the right time.
Well, you had taken control of that monitor, and I couldn't tell whether they were callers or what. But now we see it's clear sailing.
That's correct.
Were.
And I was just asking, you're going on a great holiday.
Yes.
I'm super jealous.
Toward the end of the month, Shirley and I, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law, Ron and Sue from St. Catharines, pardon me, from Waterloo, we're going to be going to Punta Cana in... Dominican Republic.
For 2 whole weeks.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Well, it can get cold, really cold, and I wouldn't mind because I've got warm weather.
I was going to say it won't get cold there.
Not there. No,
no. It's going to be gorgeous. Yeah.
Anywho, you've got some. You've got an email or no?
I've got all kinds of stuff here. So here, let's do this. Quick and dirty. What's coming up? This is in the future, 10 days from today, Tuesday, January the 23rd. I think they're calling, they are. They're calling it the Three Amigos.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Applewood Garden Club hosting an annual fundraiser featuring the Three Amigos. Yeah. So you know who they are. Mark Cullen, Frank Ferragini, and Dennis Flanagan.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so the three guys on Tuesday, January 23rd at the Great Hall Unitarian Congregation, 84 South Service Road in Mississauga, 7 p.m. There's going to be all speaking on healthy gardening for today's world. It is a $20 admission, and all net proceeds go to the Highway of Heroes. So Highway of Heroes is where they've been planting trees, right, along the Highway of Heroes. So... Excuse me, hohtribute.ca for more information about that. But if you can get out to watch or listen to the Three Amigos, I'm sure they'll be quite entertaining.
Yeah, I just mentioned to Dennis Flanagan that he's got to start working on his golf game. He didn't beat me by all that much.
So he's got to work on his golf game, or you've got to work on your golf?
I've got a ton of work I got to do. Yeah.
Yes, I did see Dennis this past week. I was attending a trade show.
Yeah.
So Landscape Ontario, every year in January, puts together something called Congress. It happens at the Congress Center, and it's quite a large event. Thousands of exhibitors, thousands of attendees. It covers acres and acres. It's the entire Congress building. And it's always a great opportunity to see what's new, talk to the growers. It's a trade show, so it's just for the trade, and a schmooze, et cetera, et cetera. Back in the day when I worked for Canada Blooms, I used to go and beg and borrow for donations for plants for Canada Blooms. Now, of course, I don't do that, so I would have gone anyway. But this year they hired me to MC or host a stage, a brand new performance art, I was calling it stage, called the Green Live Stage. Uh-huh. And it was very fun. It was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So the 3 days of the show, I was there with experts, all of whom were there speaking about trees.
Mm.
And it was, I can't tell you, I learned a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I thought I knew everything, but clearly
yeah,
I didn't.
Wait a minute.
Well, you know, it's like how certain things are done by certain companies. So, for example, there was two speakers a day. So the first, on Tuesday, the first day, the first speaker, oh, actually it was two speakers, who are both growers. Mm-hmm. One grows for the industry. So they sell trees to stores, like retail stores and garden centers. They also sell to contractors and mm-hmm. to municipalities. The other was a conservation authority. So they grow trees for the conservation authority. And again, their customers tend to be rural customers, right? But still,
Not to put you on the spot, but you mentioned you learned so much and the stuff you didn't know. Mm. What one thing stands out maybe in your mind? I should have actually clued you in that I'd asked that question.
I learned probably the biggest thing I learned was proper staking techniques, staking trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Some different ways, things I've never seen or heard of before. So that was interesting. Staking, I learned about soil remediation, how much, how to do it, all the differences around bare root and container and wire basket plantings, long-term pruning, et cetera.
Well, you are a good student as well as being a good teacher.
It was really interesting.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I hope to do it again next year.
Very good. Okay. Look at that. We're fresh out of time here.
I know. The racetrack is gone.
Yeah.
So what's going on? You're back this afternoon?
I'm back at 1:30. Yeah. Live in the city.
You're going to buy me steak and eggs.
No dry toast, huh?
Just to be clear.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm buying.
Thanks, Frank, in advance.
Charlie.
Thank you, Sebastian. And thanks to all our great callers. Couldn't do any of this without you. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.